If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
The details of Brandon Ayuk's contract extension with the 49ers are in. I'll break those down and discuss Trent Williams' upcoming negotiation or current negotiation, Brock Purdy's upcoming negotiation, and I will give an accurate ranking for 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan. No hating. Next on the Grant Cohn Show. Good morning. Welcome to the Grant Cohn Show. That's me. I'm Grant Cohn. The details of the Brandon Ayuk deal are in, and I think it's a time to put it to bed. The final look at what the Niners just did the last 5 months with Brandon Ayuk. I'm curious, like, did they save money? Did they lose money? Is this the right strategy moving forward, dealing with players who want new contracts? So let's just look at what happened, the Brandon Ayuk negotiation. Let's take it back to the beginning. The Niners offered him about $25, $26 million a year at the beginning of the offseason, and he was going to accept it. He even said this on the Pivot podcast. They were very close to coming to a deal early in the offseason. Thank goodness for him. He waited because the wide receiver market exploded in April when the Detroit Lions, who are sort of neck and neck with the Niners in the NFC, extended their all-pro wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, for a very specific contract. It was 4 years, $120 million, $77 million guaranteed, yada, yada, yada. That's full, total guarantees. But with Amon-Ra St. Brown, if you look at it, he got a $16.6 million signing bonus, and he got $18.1 million fully guaranteed. That was the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. And technically pays him $30 million a year. Brandon Ayuk looked at that, looked at the contract he was about to sign with the 49ers, and said, no, things have changed. The market has changed. I want what Amon-Ra St. Brown got. And the Niners were like, no, absolutely not. How can you change the terms of the deal? You're not worth $30 million a year. What are you talking about? Amon-Ra St. Brown gets more targets. He's more featured in their offense. You're not featured in ours. We don't really use a wide receiver. I mean, 4 months of them going back and forth and haggling and trying to explain to Ayuk why he wasn't worth what Amon-Ra St. Brown is worth, and leaking things and trying to make us sympathize with the 49ers that really Ayuk was being unreasonable and asking for too much. And then apparently, according to Adam Schefter, on August 12th, they offer him the current deal that he signed. And now the details are out. And so what did he get? Amon-Ra St. Brown got 4 years, 120 with 77 of total guarantees, fully guaranteed at signing, 34.6 million. Brandon Ayuk, who just waited, got 4 years, 120 million. He got 45 million fully guaranteed. That's 23 million in signing bonus and 22 million in guaranteed base salary, guaranteed salary. So now we're at the point of the offseason where everyone's applauding the 49ers and Niner fans are happy that Brandon's back and people are looking at Prague like, man, you did it again. You did it again. Another team-friendly deal. And yeah, I'm sure there are protections that they put in and the Niners can get out of it in a couple of years. Like, looking at Ayuk's deal, he's got no guaranteed money after 2025, just like Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's got zero guaranteed money starting in 2026. And in 2027, they can cut him and save $33 million. So yeah, absolutely. But that's how football contracts are. They're always team friendly, essentially. But what happened was the Niners offered a certain thing. Ayuk almost accepted it. Detroit ruined the market. Ayuk wanted what Detroit gave Amon-Ra St. Brown, and it took the Niners 4 months to agree to it. And when they finally did, they ended up offering more than Detroit offered, gave Amon-Ra St. Brown. So by waiting, it cost the Niners a little bit of money. Now, who cares? You don't care. They got the player. They'll work it out. But just from a business perspective, what the Niners are doing isn't working anymore. In fact, it's hurting them. And in the future, they need to just stop slow playing these negotiations. If they had gotten over themselves, seen what Detroit gave Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then the next day gave that to Brandon Ayuk, all of this would have been avoided. He would have been in OTAs, mini camp, training camp, would have been in the best shape of his life, and the Niners would be much better positioned to win the Super Bowl this year. But instead, the Niners slow played it because I don't know why. They thought maybe they could get a bargain. They could get Ayuk to cave and agree to less, but it didn't happen. In fact, the price went up, and they ended up giving more guaranteed money, a bigger signing bonus than Amon-Ra St. Brown got from Detroit. So that's embarrassing. If you really look at it that way, you refuse to give something for 4 months and then end up giving more. If you had been less stubborn, you could have just given them, you know, the exact Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. And the fact that it took them until mid-August to change the deal is weird. Like, why? Why did you wait until halfway through training camp? Doesn't that indicate that the hold-in was effective? You didn't give it to him in July. He had to show up to practice and do the bro hug and the dap. He had to make himself a spectacle. He's here, he's not, all that stuff. And you finally got, okay, here you go. Tried to trade him a couple of times, but ultimately you gave him what he wanted and more. So, I don't know who's responsible for the negotiations, but it seems like it's Parag Marate. And it seems like he's been doing these negotiations the same style for a long time. Make the player sweat, leak that he's being unprofessional and immature. And then if he's patient, you can give him a big contract at the end. But it's like they've folded so many times in a row. I think every player knows that if you just wait until training camp, the Niners are going to give you what you want every single time. So I think it worked really well for Brandon. He had to be patient and, you know, take a lot of negative reports in the media that he was being unreasonable. But ultimately, he wasn't being unreasonable. It took the Niners 4 months to offer what they needed to offer. And then it took him, what, 2-3 weeks to accept it? And the Niners, right when he accepted it, they had Adam Schefter say that, well, you know, the hold-in wasn't effective. This was the same deal that's been on the table since August 12th. Okay, well, I would have waited too if I was Brandon Ayuk. After the way the Niners have done business the last few years, like, I'll wait a few more weeks. See if you up here, if you just get desperate and cave again. That's why the Niners need to change their pattern. Everyone knows that they can outweigh the Niners and beat them in like a game of in a standoff. So do what the rest of the league is doing. Get these deals done as soon as possible. Don't wait until August. Get them done in April. If they had gotten this done, if they had just offered this to Ayuk before the draft, who knows? Maybe they don't draft Ricky Pearsall in round one. That Ricky Pearsall pick was very much because they didn't know what was going to happen with their number one wide receiver. If they had known, which Detroit knew. I just don't understand. Like, it seems like the rest of the league is gravitating towards get these deals done soon because the cap is going up very quickly. And the longer you wait, the more money these players cost. It's a pretty simple calculation. But the Niners have Parag, who wants to justify his position on the team. And this is what he does. If you listen to him in interviews, like, he's very proud of how he does deals. And he's not the guy who just gives in right away. Like, he's the final boss in Super Mario Brothers 4. He takes it with a lot of pride how he really sticks it to these players. And it's like, he doesn't make the final decision anymore. Kyle does. So it seems like it's pretty easy to just tune him out and say, all right, Parag, like, you can say whatever you want to say, but I'm just going to wait and deal with Kyle directly in like 4 months. So I think the 49ers, you don't want to be like too predictable. You don't want to get scouted. And I think right now everyone knows the Niners game plan. Low ball first, and then slowly increase the offer. And until you completely cave and end up paying more than you wanted to, than the player even asked for originally. That's what the Niners do. And then people praise them and say, wow, they did it again. There's that Parag. There's that John Lynch. I think it's time for them to change their strategy, mix it up a little bit, because players are taking advantage of him. Lil Will says, do you think Brock would play on the franchise tag if they finished the year like 2022? Man, you really think the Niners are going to play hardball with Brock when they couldn't even play hardball with Brandon? They gave Brandon everything he wanted and more. You think they're going to play hardball with their quarterback? Is that what we learned this offseason, Lil Will? I'm asking you. Gammon Brown says, Grant asked if we can get this stream to 200 likes. There is currently 29 likes. 84% of 81 people voted yes. If you voted yes, click the like button. Yeah, why wouldn't you like the stream? You're watching the stream. You're invested in me. It helps me. It helps the algorithm. I don't understand how, but it would really make a big difference if you like this stream. Come on, help me out. I'm telling you all the things you need to know. Brother Bob says, Iggy, we agree on BA. Kyle Levy screwed himself again. It's not just Kyle, though. It's Jed. It's Parag. It's John. It's the whole organization. They think this is the right way to go about things. It doesn't make sense. It seems like it's costing them money. In the past, it might have saved them money. With Nick Bosa, I'm not sure it cost them money or saved them money, but with Ayuk, it objectively cost them money. Zach Rivero says, I think BA just didn't want to practice. He would have held out regardless of getting an offer early on. Bet you Lynch and Shanahan knew and played along. What makes you say that, Zach? I don't think so. I disagree. If they had offered him what they offered him on August 12th, if they'd offered him that on April 12th, I think he would have accepted it. I don't know. That's how I feel. Maybe you're right, Zach. Neither of us really know. Mike Greco says spreadsheet said SS pressure made Ayuk cave. How did Ayuk cave when he got more than what Amon-Ra St. Brown got? That's what I don't understand. They offered him 26-ish. He said, nah, I want 30 in the form that Amon-Ra got it from Detroit. The Niners were like, no, that's too much. 4 months later, they're like, okay, here's actually a little bit more than that. But Ayuk caved. That's funny how the spin goes. Colin Anthony says, also in the short term, I worry about players suddenly having to ramp up. Bosa looks like a comic book character with how in shape he always is. But even he was dragging most of last season, especially the first half of last season. If Nick Bosa, who's like the most put together, in shape dude in the league, and you thought wouldn't even need training camp, well, 3 sacks in the first 8 games last year, slow start. So I think it's fair to maybe even expect Ayuk to have a slow start this season. First 8 games, some games where he's not a big factor. And then he'll turn it on later on because he's a hell of a player. Okay. Trent Williams up next. The Niners are currently negotiating some type of let me try to find the words in the English language. They're trying to get a new deal done with Trent Williams. He wants more money. He wants to be the highest paid left tackle in the game. Once again, he basically wants the Christian McCaffrey treatment. McCaffrey had no guaranteed money left on his deal. Let me pull up his deal just to make sure I know what I'm talking about. Christian McCaffrey, they gave him a new deal this offseason. and he has guaranteed money now in 2024 and in 2025. Not just this year. They gave him a raise and they gave him guaranteed money for this year and next year. So I'm thinking that's what Trent wants. He's got no guaranteed money left. He wants a raise. He wants guaranteed money this year and guaranteed money next year so he can go to sleep peacefully and not have to worry that if he gets a high ankle sprain and misses a month, that the Niners will use it against him and cut him next year like they did with Eric Armstead. And the Niners, you know, I mean, there's always a reason not to give a player exactly what he wants. And we've discussed this with Ayuk for ad nauseum for months. With Trent Williams, the reason why you wouldn't necessarily want to give him fully guaranteed money or a lot of guaranteed money next year is he might retire after this year. And if he retires and he has guaranteed money left on the deal, then that becomes dead cap money and it's not good for the organization. They're already in cap trouble for next year. So they're understandably hesitant to just capitulate. But you know what? I have a prediction. They're going to capitulate. They're going to give Trent Williams everything he wants. Why do I feel that way? Because they just gave Brandon Ayuk everything he wants. They gave Nick Bosa everything he wanted. They gave Christian McCaffrey everything he wanted. And they're not playing hardball. They pretend to play hardball until there's actually a game to play. Then they cave. So I don't know. Is it going to be today for Trent Williams? Maybe not, because the Niners have to make it seem like they're really tough negotiators. You know what I mean? The art of the deal over here. Donald Trump over here. But then, like, what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Their first practice, legit practice, is Thursday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, day off, Sunday, game Monday. I'm thinking he's going to be practicing on Thursday. So just get it done now. Instead of finally caving on Wednesday and giving him the 2 years guaranteed, just do it now. We know you're going to guarantee his 2025 salary, partially. We know it. You know it. He knows it. We all know it. You don't play hardball. You're in a Super Bowl window. You're not going to jeopardize it. You're going to jeopardize your future to go all in now, which frankly you have to do. And I commend it. It bugged me a couple of years ago when you didn't go all in. You have to now. Forget the future. You're in year 8, Kyle. You have to win the Super Bowl now. You can't let this particular team go without getting hardware to justify it, commemorate it, whatever the word is. Gotta go all in. So they are. And that means you can't really play hardball with Brandon. You could pretend. You can't play hardball with Trent. You could pretend. So stop pretending. We get it. Just give him the money. I mean, if you did play hardball, I would have respected it. Like, if you had drafted Kingsley Suamataya in round 2 and told Trent, absolutely not. We're not going to let you hold us hostage at 36 years old. Go play golf. We're good. I would have respected that. But they didn't. They're not in that position. They know they're not in that position. He knows they're not in that position. Just give him what he wants. Get it over with. That's my official stance right now. I have no faith in the Niners saving a dollar anymore. Every day that goes by, the price goes up. Just get it over with. And fire Parag, man. Come on. He's past his prime. He's lost it. There was a time maybe 20, 25 years ago where he was a real asset to the organization because teams were still trying to figure out the salary cap and they didn't have a cap guru or a cap expert, and the Niners did, and it saved them some money. Now every team has a cap expert. Every team knows how to navigate it. It's not hard. And it seems like the Niners are kind of stuck in like a different era. That's not, I mean, he's really struggling with Leeds United too. Go read some articles about soccer. He's not doing well with that team. He should focus on one or the other. That's what I have to say. Shane Cooley says, it's so funny, regardless of the Niners' history of signing players late, they can't help but repeat history year after year. Can you please learn from the lesson? Yeah, like, I don't even think it's that, like, you get the players, you keep the players, you have a good roster, you're competitive. Like, it seems like you're a good organization. This is just one obvious thing that you could tweak. Instead of paying late, pay early. Detroit figured it out. Philly figured it out. Miami figured it out. Who are the teams that drag their feet and pay late? The Niners, Dallas, Cincinnati. I don't get that. It seems like what you do is you either sign the guy early or you trade the guy early. You don't dilly-dally. It doesn't seem to help the organization. If it does help the organization, I would love for someone to explain it to me because I'm not smart enough to understand how slow playing these things is actually working in 2024. It seems like it really only helps. It one, it pisses off the player, strains the relationship, and then they have to like give them extra money to smooth things over. I don't know. You wonder how strained the relationship is between Ayuk and the Niners now. As soon as that deal got done, you had Adam Schefter being like, Brandon caved in his face. Like, oof. You really need to dunk on the player you just signed? Like, don't you want to repair that relationship? Don't you want things to be good? But it was all about the Niners saving face. Toby Rivera donates $10 to the channel. Thank you very much, Toby. It's very generous of you. Let's make some sleeper picks before we go on any further, because sometimes I get antsy. And when I get antsy in my pantsy, it's time for some sleeper picks. You know it. I know it. Everyone knows it. Let's see if they got any new ones for the Niners. Brock Purdy, passing touchdowns, rushing yards, 6.5 rushing yards for Brock Purdy. I like that. I feel like that's a gimme. Like, I feel like what I like with the sleeper picks is when you try to find something that no one's really going to wager on. You know what I mean? It's like everyone wants the passing yards, but 6.5 rushing yards, that seems easy. Aaron Rodgers, 1.5 passing touchdowns. I'm going to say less. I think it's going to be a rushing defense game. Also, you don't really know what you're going to get from Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't played much, and he wasn't very good a couple of years ago when he was playing. Christian McCaffrey, reception touchdown. I'm going to say more on that one. I like that. Breece Hall, rushing touchdown. Receiving yards. Rushing touchdown, yeah, for Breece. He's a really good player. Who else we got? Receiving yards. Garrett Wilson. George Kittle. I'm going to go less on Kittle. They're going to pace him for the playoffs, my best guess. Garrett Wilson, 68.5 receiving yards. I think it's going to be more of a defense game. Let me just add more stuff onto this so I can make sure I get it wrong. Green Bay, Philly. Yeah. Saquon Barkley, 69.5 rushing yards. Pittsburgh.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
George Pickens, 15.5 receiving yards. Yeah, more. That's the last one I'm doing. Those are my picks. Check them out. Gonna flex it. If I get this right, hold on. If I get all seven right, I get $1,000. Should I do that just for fun? I want $1,000. Let's do it. Boom. Also, I know I've been giving this away forever, but I'm really giving it away for real now because people like Brandon Ayuk, and he's on the team. Signed Ayuk jersey. Check it out. It's signed. It's signed right there on the one. See that? Hold on. No, wait. There, it's signed. Check it out. If you want it, download the app, use promo code CONE. Everyone that uses the promo code CONE gets put in a spreadsheet that's checked specifically by the spreadsheet master, and then I get notified and I will give this away soon. So if you want some Brandon Ayuk love, hit me up. All right, let's talk more contract stuff. So the Brock Purdy negotiation is going to happen next year. Can we make a prediction right now on how it's going to go, knowing the 49ers? I mean, they're predictable at this point. They have a clear game plan. They're going to offer Brock Purdy a lowball offer in April or March next year. And we're going to hear about why it's really fair and how the Niners have leverage and technically they can make him play out the last year of his contract and franchise tag him a couple of times, and that Brock Purdy needs to play ball because he is really good, but he's also benefits from the team around him and he doesn't want to push those guys away. And Tom Brady gave money back because he was married to Giselle and he wanted to have a good team. And if he wants to be a real winner and a leader, he's going to do the same thing. And hear that all offseason. And he's just going to probably not cave if he has a good agent. They'll probably offer him like $45 million. We won't find out. We'll just hear that Brock's being greedy or that Brock's being, he's changed. They didn't expect that Brock would want this. And meanwhile, other quarterbacks are going to get paid $55, $60, $65 million a year. And him and his agent are going to point to those and be like, "Hey, man, like, stop messing around. This is what the market says he's worth." And the Niners are going to hem and haw, and they're going to drag their feet, and it's going to be like April, May, June, July. Like, what's going on with Brock? How come this hasn't gotten done yet? We're going to have these updates every other day being like, you know, both sides want to get this done, but there's really no deal on the table at this time, but things remain fluid, and things could change, but nothing's changed. And that's the update. And we're going to hear that over and over and over and over and over again. And then Brock will probably hold in because he's the leader of the team, and he might even practice while he's negotiating this stuff. But then, like, eventually, like right before the season, the Niners are going to make him the highest paid player in the league. Am I wrong? Mark it down. I said it at 23:55 in the stream on August 31st, 2024. That's exactly what's going to happen in the negotiation next year. Initial lowball offer. Brock Purdy doesn't even acknowledge it. The Niners work hard to make it seem like their offer is great in the media for months until they eventually come to their senses and offer him a contract that makes him the highest paid player in the league. And he takes it. And then somehow people applaud the Niners for a team-friendly deal and say, wow, Prague did it again. That's what's going to happen, 100%. So if I can predict that today, I think that it shouldn't go that way. Niners, look at yourself in the mirror, find a new way to do business. Like, you got to get this done with Brock Purdy as soon as possible. You have to make up your mind now. He's either your guy or he's not. If he's not, then trade him as soon as the season's over, before the draft, so you can get things to help the team next year. If he is, sign him now, because every day you wait, it gets more expensive. You want to sign him before some other quarterback becomes the highest paid quarterback in the league. You want to be the first team to give an extension to a quarterback next offseason, not the last team to give an extension to a quarterback. Like, you're consistently the last team to give extensions to players at premium positions, and it costs you. And now I wonder if these players will even entertain an offer you make in April, knowing that you're going to up it in August. That's the danger of the precedent that you created. Right now, everyone's just banking on Brock Purdy being nice. Oh, Brock wouldn't do that. He's a good guy. He's Christian. He used to sing in the choir. You know what I'm saying? Like he's a competitor, man. He's a competitor. He's very confident. And probably from his perspective and the agent's perspective, he's been playing for way under market value for 3 years. So why would he give money back? The Niners owe him. I'll be impressed if the Niners change their style and just get this done. Make a decision early and move on. He's your guy, extend him. He's not your guy, trade him. Don't do the thing that you did with Brandon this year. Well, we like him, but at our price, and he's kind of replaceable, and we're going to draft a guy at his position, but we want to keep him. We're going to spend our first round pick on a quarterback, but we want Brock. But we want him at our price, and we have the leverage. Oh, it just turns out that he has the leverage. Like, no, don't do that. Learn from this offseason. Everything that happened this offseason cost the Niners money. Go faster next year. Got to make a decision. That's what Detroit's doing. That's what Philly's doing. That's what the smart organizations are doing. Not that the Niners aren't smart. They could just be a little bit smarter. Yep, when we re-sign Juice, we should re-sign all, says Brother Bob. Shane Cooley. Or do they pay late because Kyle struggles with grass is greener on the other side syndrome? I think they've been paying late since before Kyle was here, but maybe they're all sort of guilty. You think Kyle is like early on in the offseason, like, I don't need Brandon. He's replaceable. Who's he think he is? I'll just draft Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing, and then I'll show him. And then they get into camp, and Ricky Pearsall is just a rookie who's injured, and Jacob Cowing is a promising young rookie who's not Brandon Ayuk. And Kyle's like, damn, I need this. I really don't want my offense to take a step back. Okay, forget everything I said. Possible. Certainly possible. But whatever the reason is, like, they need to stop doing it. It's not helping. Can we agree on that? If someone can make an argument for why it's still the right move to drag these negotiations on and come to an agreement like August 28th or September 2nd, why is that the move? And again, like with the Trent Williams thing, I can't wait to see when it happens and what the terms are. Because my prediction, knowing the Niners, is it's going to happen Wednesday, and he's going to get 2 years guaranteed money. He's going to be the highest paid left tackle in the league. He's going to get what he wants on Wednesday. It's my guess. If I'm wrong, God love the Niners. But if I'm right, what are we waiting for? Stop pretending you're tough. Just give him what he wants. Wednesday, highest paid left tackle in the league, 2 years guaranteed money. Let's see. Might even happen before then. But knowing the Niners, they'll wait until, no, actually Thursday morning, before practice. seems silly. It just seems kind of silly. Last one. Well, then we'll go. Let's stop talking business, because I was an English major, not a business major. My brother told me to be a biz econ major. I was about to go to college. He told me a few things. He was like, dude, a couple of things. First of all, whatever you do in college, don't do meth. I was like, good to know. Check. He was like, have you considered being a biz econ major? I was like, absolutely not. He's like, you should. You'll make a lot of money. He was right. I was an English major. Didn't necessarily put money in my pocket, but now I'm talking to you in my room with a laptop in front of my face. So, you know, worked out. Anyway, Kyle Shanahan. I think it's funny, like, when people rank Kyle Shanahan, a lot of people say he's the second best head coach in the league, or he's the best coach in the league. You know, Andy Reid, he's got Patrick Mahomes, but look at what Kyle Shanahan does without a quarterback like that. I think we need to be serious about ranking Kyle Shanahan. What's funny is, like, his quarterbacks have great numbers, but there's always people who know ball explaining why. Like, yeah, like Brock Purdy may have MVP numbers, but he's a fringe top 10 quarterback because of XYZ. He really has a great supporting cast. Look at the players around him on offense, and look at the scheme he gets and the defense he has. He's really in a great position. Like, all this context, yada, yada, yada. Good player, above average quarterback, but not elite. You know what I mean? All of that. And that's universally accepted. It's accepted with Brock. It was accepted with Jimmy. Then there's Kyle. To me, everything that people say about Brock to knock him, which I think is true, applies to Kyle as well. Like, hasn't won a Super Bowl. Needs great players on offense for his scheme to work. A scheme, like, people say Brock is a system quarterback. Kyle's a system coach. Kyle is more of a system coach than Brock is a system quarterback. Brock is more comfortable improvising on the fly than Kyle. Kyle is a system coach with no rings, but, you know, a lot of playoff appearances. And you could say, well, his 4 NFC championship games in 5 years is an accomplishment, and not that many coaches could do that. I don't think it's an accomplishment. I think it's something, but it's not winning. Winning a Super Bowl is winning. It's coming close, missing an opportunity, however you want to describe it. But it's not winning. And there's so many coaches who have won Super Bowls, who've finished. Kyle hasn't shown that he's a finisher, that he can finish. And it's like, maybe if he were coaching like the Bad News Bears and just dragging some team that stunk to deep in the playoffs every year, and you say, wow, like, no one overachieves like Kyle. No one does more with less than Kyle. Has Kyle necessarily overachieved the last 5 years? I wouldn't say that. You could argue he's underachieved. You could argue that another coach would have won at least one Super Bowl with this team in the last 5 years. You know, head coaches who aren't considered geniuses would have found a way to finish one time, close the deal one time. So, Kyle Shanahan, good coach. Objectively a good coach, man. His team is good. It's been good for a while. But is he a top 10 coach in the league? Maybe fringe, just like Brock. To me, I would rank Brock higher among quarterbacks than I would rank Kyle among coaches. But I think most people would disagree with that. I think Brock is objectively better at his job than Kyle is at his. Kyle's great at scripting plays. He's money in the first half. He's not great at calling plays once the script is done. He has some of the most incredible second half collapses in Super Bowl NFC Championship history. It's hard to really rank him above Mike McDaniel. Him and Mike McDaniel are awfully similar, man. They got some nice systems. They've won absolutely jack nothing. And, you know, like, you want their players on your fantasy team, for sure. The Dolphins and Niners offensive highlights are a lot of fun to watch. But is Mike McDaniel, is Kyle Shanahan ultimately going to finish the deal ever? I don't know. Sean Payton did. Jim Harbaugh did last year. John Harbaugh has. Doug Peterson has. Andy Reid does. Finishing matters. Niners talk about finishers. Kyle's not one. He's a high-level system coach who's not much of a leader, kind of dour. Players play for him because they believe in his system. And he's had some incredible defensive coordinators who are true leaders until the last couple of years. Brandon Staley isn't that. Steve Wilkes isn't that. But D'Amico Ryans, Robert Saleh, incredible leaders. So, is Kyle Shanahan a top 10 head coach? You can make the argument, sure. But is he top five? I just can't see it. Not if Brock Purdy isn't top five. I don't like the argument of when people being like, Kyle's elite, but Brock isn't. Or Brock's elite and Kyle isn't. They're very similar. They're both fringe top 10 guys in their position. And that changes if they win a Super Bowl, for sure. It does. But they haven't yet. And it was funny, I interviewed Ira Miller yesterday on my channel. If you haven't watched it, please do. He covered all five Super Bowls for the 49ers. And it's interesting, it's been so long, I think a lot of younger analysts and fans grade this team on a curve because they don't remember what true winning is. And if all you're basing it on is what the team has been like since 2002, then yeah, this is great. But until you actually win a Super Bowl, you're not great. You're not. You're not legendary. You're not going to be remembered. You're just a good team in the moment. So 7 years in, head coach, been a hell of an offensive coordinator, has a good system. He's a system coach. If he wasn't, then why would he have to pay $30 million for one wide receiver, $24 for another, $19 for the running back, $15 for the tight end, $28 for the left tackle? I mean, he lost Mike McDaniel 2 years ago, and his offense was going down the tubes, and he had to really make a big trade for Christian McCaffrey. Now he's got a full house on offense. A lot of coaches would do pretty well with this team. Like Bill Belichick, who's unemployed, really embarrassed himself in New England after Tom Brady left. Not even an offensive coach. I'm thinking he could win a Super Bowl with this team. So even though he's unemployed, I would still rank him ahead of Kyle. How many head coaches could win a Super Bowl with this team? Those are the number of coaches I would rank ahead of Kyle, because somehow, some way, with this great team, Kyle hasn't or can't win a Super Bowl. That's crazy. Andy Reid could. John Harbaugh could. Jim Harbaugh could. Sean Payton could. Bill Belichick could. I don't know if Doug Peterson could. That's the one guy. He was he got lucky that 1 year, that RPO stuff. I don't know about Doug Peterson. Mike Tomlin probably could. If you, those are just competent coaches, but if you give them a great team, they know what to do with it and they can finish. You can't say that about Kyle. Hasn't proven it. Maybe this year he'll prove it. Maybe this is the year with a 10-point lead in the second half, he just turns to Jordan Mason and lets Jordan Mason be the closer. That would be great. Why not? He has the closer in his backfield. He could do it. Barring injury, you know he's going to have a second half lead late in the season in a big game. The question is, will he blow it? History says yes. Owen's worst adversary says all of that offseason fuss. He better be the next coming of football Jesus. See, this is another thing. The way the Niners do their negotiation, they make it seem like the player is just so unreasonable. Like, God, what is his problem? He's such a diva. And I even fell into it. But now I'm like, nah, man, this is what you do. You lowball, you make the guy seem impatient when really you guys are just negotiating like high schoolers. I'm sorry. Sorry. Bens of Metal Ford says needs credit for getting this roster and making NFC consistently. Reed was in the same boat as a choke artist with the Eagles and Chiefs, still young. I agree. I'm not saying Kyle's a bad coach. He's a good coach. He has a good system. He knows what it needs. He's definitely had a hand in putting the team together. Good coach. But not a great coach. Above average coach. And I think people think, I think he sucks because I harp on his sins. But no, I mean, I think that's the mark of a good coach. Like, we're taking you seriously. We're holding you to the highest standards. You're supposed to be a genius. You're supposed to be the next in the line of Bill Walsh and Andy Reid. You know, that's how we're assessing you. And he comes across as a guy who can't finish. Right now. Maybe he will this year. Dimitar Dimitrov says, Kyle can't adjust towards the end of the game. Garbage drop back calls. Needs defense to be insane. That's been the case so far. TY says, none of the coaches you name had to play Patrick. You know, can I tell you something? Patrick Mahomes has been in 4 Super Bowls. He has thrown 7 touchdown passes and 5 picks in 4 Super Bowls. Okay? Joe Montana also was in 4 Super Bowls. He threw 11 touchdown passes and no picks. So Patrick Mahomes, great player. Great player. But the reason the Niners have lost to the Chiefs isn't that Patrick Mahomes has been Joe Montana. It's that Andy Reid has been Bill Walsh and Kyle Shanahan has been Kyle Shanahan. That's why the Niners lost those 2 Super Bowls. They did a pretty good job against Mahomes both times. But the difference in coaching performances between Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan was so stark, so vast. Niners lost. That's the way I see it. Benz of Metal Ford says he's got all the tools, just needs the age wisdom. He certainly does need some wisdom. I'm not sure that everyone gets wisdom with age. It's not. Maybe I'm wrong. Brian Berquist says SF Super Bowl was against the Bengals and they lost the NFC. Yeah, man, they were up 17-7 in the NFC Championship game against the Rams, 3 years ago? And lost. What about that collapse? That's collapses as bad as any of Kyle's. They should have won that game. And they blamed it all on Jaquaski Tart. Shane Cooley. It was ridiculous how Kyle doubled down on feeding Debo in the Super Bowl even when it wasn't working. Almost like they were doing it for the receiver documentary. Oy. Oy. Yeah, well, this year if they get in that position, just give the ball to Jordan Mason and get out of the way. And hopefully your big bruising running back can bring home the Lombardi Trophy. I didn't get any super chats explaining why the Niners waiting around to give these extensions was smart. Maybe you guys did it in the chat section. I'll go back and look. I appreciate you guys watching and considering my thoughts here on this really beautiful Saturday morning in the Bay Area. Got 1,394 people watching. Please, if you're watching, like the stream, subscribe to the channel. It would make a big difference for me and my family. Thanks for watching. I'll be back soon. Enjoy your day or don't. That's up to you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.